Welcome, everybody, to a Friday edition of Texans All Access. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter. Going on my fifth hour of radio, did four this morning with Seth. That was a blast, but glad to be with you in our home. I was just visiting this morning in our home of Texans All Access, and we've got plenty for you. We got Lovie Smith. We're going to hear from Mark Vandermeer. We're going to hear from Kyle Allen. We're going to have some keys to the game. We're going to hear from the enemy sidelines with DP City. We're also going to hear from Troy Harrison doing a Drew's Dozen with Drew Doherty. We're going to hear my predictions. All those things are happening this evening right here on Texans All Access. And each Friday we dive in right off the bat with, like I said, the head coach of your Houston Texans, Lovie Smith. Here we go.
Coach, facing the Dolphins, I know you have the new quarterback in there with Kyle Allen, and how much does it help that he's played some games in this league? He's got some experience under his belt that he can bring.
Well, it helps a lot. I feel like, you know, when you make a change, you know, sometimes, a lot of times it's a young player that hasn't had an opportunity to start, but that's not the case with Kyle. Kyle has been around. I remember his college career, so followed his career an awful lot, and he's been one of those guys that had an opportunity before, then turn out exactly the way they want it. But you're always looking for that second opportunity. And we like, you know, when you have to go a different direction, feel like you need to have someone that has played. And he's been here with us the entire time. So he's played in the NFL. He's been with us from the first day as we install our offense. He's been in all of the meetings. And I've seen him. He's been going against the one defense every day. So I've seen him throughout the year and feel good about this opportunity in front of him.
What about facing this Dolphins defense in general, Coach? What's important about your Houston Texans offense as you match up with them?
Well, we've talked about, Mark, last month. It's been, we need to be able to hound them up. Offensively, we need to be able to hound them up front. Offensive line needs a helm. An outstanding defensive front. We have another one that we're going to have to deal with. We're going to pass the football, and we need to be able to pass it. But we want to be able to run the football also. So we need to win the line of scrimmage, and that will open up and make everybody's life better.
We'll get to their quarterback in a moment, too. But what about their ground game, Coach? They're pretty tough up front as well, running the football.
That's the misnomer a little bit. I mean, we're going to, you know, their receivers are special. Tua is a heck of a quarterback. But what makes them tougher, I think, is the balance. I mean, most of the, you know, there are, you know, most times you have a team like this, they're in 11 personnel, three receivers, throwing it all over the place. But they do a lot of their offense out of a 21 personnel grouping, which makes you honor the run more. So there's a commitment to the run here also.
All right. And what about the week of preparation, Coach, with Thanksgiving and everything like that factoring into getting ready for the Dolphins game? The whole league is going through it, really.
Yeah, and that's how we see it. We know that the Thanksgiving game week is different. You plan that in advance. And lately for us, I think it's important that the guys be able to spend Thanksgiving at home. So we structure our game week for Thanksgiving week a little bit different. We've done more Tuesday, Wednesday, and we normally have meetings on Friday morning. We came in early today to make up for some of that time.
All right, so last year these two teams matched up and we saw different quarterbacks, a different situation, a lot of different players really. Do you use that tape at all to get ready for this matchup?
Yes, because a lot of guys did play last year, so the matchups are still the same. Yeah, the way we're doing things have changed a little bit. But yes, we use it, but a lot of their key guy performers right now, like Tyreek Hill, I mean, they weren't there last year. Tua didn't play against us last year. You have to take that in mind.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot. Good luck against Miami.
Thank you.
All right, Mark, you just heard from Lovie Smith, made it official today. It is Kyle Allen. That Kyle Allen went to the podium. Your gut reaction?
My gut reaction was what Lovie just said in that interview about Allen getting that opportunity again, having a chance to watch, to wait, and get it again. Look, it's not like he was rooting against Davis Mills. They're close, and they're in that quarterback room together. But everybody's a competitor, and they want another shot. And Allen has played in this league. He's had 17 starts in this league. He understands a lot about the NFL in different ways, different teams. And now he's ready for another shot. Look, no one is saying this is, oh, he's going to the Pro Bowl with these last seven starts. But I think it'll be better, Johnny. I think with Mills, it was diminishing returns after a while. So this is a good move for the Texans. Give it a shot. See what happens. Be more competitive. and just take it 1 week at a time. I know that's cliche, but what other choice do you have?
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's right now, what other choice do you have? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're past the trade deadline. You've got 7 weeks left. Your choices right now are go to Kyle Allen, go to Jeff Driskel, or run Wildcat with somebody that, and you're not going to do that in an NFL game, not for a full game. So you go to Kyle, you give him an opportunity. And it's been kind of amazing to see just the reaction to it, but all week. But watching Kyle Allen up at the podium, it's funny because our friend Landry Locker talks about this a lot. He's a podium critic. Kyle Allen would get A's across the board from me. Mm-hmm. At the podium, he was very sure of himself. He didn't stammer, he didn't stutter. I thought he was just really straight to the point. Somebody had actually asked him a question that was very either similar or the exact same as the other question, and he just said, "It's the same question I got over here. Here's what I said. Bang, bang, bang. Next one. Let's go." I just felt like...
I like that.
It doesn't say a whole heck of a lot about, you know, okay, how is he going to do? He might throw an interception on the first play.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know. But I got a sneaky suspicion that what he has gained from the last time he started a game, which was November 8th, 2020. Yeah, November 8th, 2020 against New York Giants. That was the last start. I think that's when he broke his leg and then came back in 2021. He did play a couple of times last year. They ended up both, ironically, being against Dallas. They're the same team. And in that, those two appearances, he was 12 for 19, 120 yards, one touchdown, no interception. And you go back and you look at the year that he started, 2019, for the Carolina Panthers, and he was 17-16, I think, touchdown interception ratio. He also was a second-year guy in the NFL.
Yeah.
Kind of like somebody else that he's replacing right now. And so I think when you have that opportunity to go back and do something again, and you think about that, just in any walk of life, you go back and get to do something that you had done prior to, okay, this is how I did it before. This is how I'm doing it now. Maybe nothing changes. Maybe the way you were doing it before was great. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just because you were hurt. You can go back and do it that way. Kyle Allen, the way that he talked, it felt like, okay, he's got a lot to prove to himself, and he's going to go out there and be a different guy than he was before. So I like it from the standpoint of, look, this team and this offense, not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Damian Pierce has been really fun to watch. The offensive line has blocked the run game okay. And 31 has been fun to watch. But the passing game has been just...
No, it's frustrating,
it's
Johnny.
It's just not been. It's been frustrating. You've talked about it during games. Yeah. We've all talked about it during games. People have pointed out their opportunities that were missed. And now it's an opportunity to cash in on, all right, this was your quote-unquote insurance policy, and now you got to cash that in and see what it's worth.
And you're on the road. It would have been nicer to see it last week against Washington, but what can you do at this point, right?
Right.
Doesn't that game feel like 1,000 years ago now because it's Thanksgiving and it's a weird week? And I thought, wait a minute, have I done my podcast this week? Yeah, it was up on Tuesday, but it feels like it's been 3 weeks since I did that with Joe Rosen. It's up on the website, by the way, and the Texans app and all the other podcast platforms. But yeah, you were missing opportunities. It was diminishing returns. We were all waiting for it to happen. We were all waiting for that last five games of 2021 Mills, and it never materialized. You saw flashes of it. It didn't happen. Andre made a good point about, hey, new offensive coordinator, different system. Maybe it's just going to take a while. Sure, you'll give it a while. But no one can say that you haven't given this quarterback a fair shot as far as amount of starts go, right? I mean, he started 11 games last year, and I'll throw out the first six because that was way too early for him, but the last five were significant, and then you have 10 this year.
Yep.
You had a lot of starts. Now, well, the talent, Mark. Well, look, I know the talent is not exactly, you know, greatest show on turf. It's not Air Coryell, but you've got some pieces here. You've got Damian Pierce, who's a top 10 running back at the very least. You've got two first-round draft choice tackles who are doing a pretty good job. I know at the middle it's been a little tough lately, but you've got some decent receivers, and it just hasn't happened. And look, Johnny, as you say, Allen gets his second chance, as we've talked about. I'm not saying Mills is done here either as far as opportunity. Allen could play two games. Maybe it's not going that well. Maybe you throw Mills back in there and you get that last five games of 2021 hit. I don't know. And I don't know what that does to your offseason evaluation. But look, this is a week-to-week, day-to-day thing for you and I looking at it, talking about it. Yep. And here we are. I thought it would go a lot better. I started to have some concerns during training camp with the passing game.
Yep.
But now I want to see it with Kyle Allen, because I saw during the preseason game, one thing I noticed, Johnny, and you and I agree, and Andre as well, the ball was coming out quick. It was crisp. It was accurate in the short range stuff. Like, take the easy stuff and do that really well.
Right.
Then the harder stuff, all right, you know, 50-50 balls. Those are 50-50 balls for a reason. But you got to be really high percentage with the short and so-called easier passing game.
Yeah, there's no doubt. One thing I was on with Seth this morning, and one thing I thought he made a great point that we expanded upon.
Are you tired?
And it's weird. We have had very few days off, and this is what was me sort of stuff. But because of games that I've been doing on the weekends and our travel, I've had very few. Just there's nothing going on these particular days.
Right.
Thanksgiving was that day.
Nothing going
on. I was excited about cooking all that.
Yeah.
I woke up at 4:45 and I couldn't go back to sleep.
Really? Because you're just so used to it.
I mean, just, you know, I don't sleep past, you know, the latest I usually sleep is 7:15 anyways.
Did you stay up till the end of the Patriots-Vikings game?
No, I fell asleep. I had to go back and watch. I had to watch the Hunter Henry thing. My point with all that was I had to get up the next day anyways at 4:45 to go do the show at 6. And so I've been okay. But one thing that he pointed out, and I thought this was, it was a good point by Seth, and I think this is true. If we're being honest, and I think sometimes people will accuse you of you and I of not being as honest, like we look at things through rose-colored glasses, but I think people don't really understand a lot of times what we're talking about. But if we're being honest, this team is still in an evaluation sort of form, meaning you still have to figure out who fits what we're doing going forward.
Right.
But it's about winning games.
But we said that.
I know. No, no, I'm not saying we haven't.
And everybody signed off on that coming into this year at the quarterback position.
Including us.
We're going to see how it goes. If it doesn't go well, you got all these draft choices.
And what did we say? We said 2022, Davis deserved the opportunity to start.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he deserved. He didn't.
You'd be crazy not to try it.
Right.
What if he's lightning in a bottle and we're something more sustainable?
Right. Absolutely. And so, thinking of us sort of in an evaluation phase, the offense has not been going well, right?
No.
Not been going well.
No.
What are all the issues? Well, a lot of people have been giving their opinions about what has been wrong. What was this? What was that? What's going on? All right. Well, let's take this one quarterback and let's see. Was it the quarterback? Well, you put Kyle Allen in that situation. If the offense still doesn't go, then there's got to be another problem.
Yeah.
So this is along the lines of solving those problems. Okay, we talked about the protection. If the protection isn't any better for Kyle, then something's going on with the offensive line.
Yeah.
Now, if the protection gets better, why is that? Well, Kyle gets rid of the ball. Maybe they're running a few different plays. They have to figure all that out, but they're still in an evaluation phase such that they can look at everything with a fine-tooth comb with this decision. If they just continue down the road with Davis, because, well, Davis is the starting quarterback, I don't think you're going to get the right and thorough evaluation of everything on the offense you need.
Great point.
And so from that perspective, if you put Kyle in there, like, okay, we've now changed the experiment. We've kept all this other stuff the same, but we changed the experiment at one key spot. And so now you can make, and it may not be just one game. Maybe it's a couple games. Who knows how long Kyle's going to start, but you can at least evaluate the offense and go, okay, if Kyle doesn't succeed, maybe it's not the quarterback situation. Maybe that's not what it is. Maybe there's an issue elsewhere that they've got to try and ferret out as well.
Well, what about what Lovie said? He sort of hinted at this might not be the only change, right?
Right.
And I'm wondering what else they try to do because you're right. They are in an evaluation mode. I mean, you are where you are here, 1-8-1, and you have 7 games left, and you have some really tough teams. So if nothing else, you want to know exactly what you have, what you don't have, what you need. You have the big draft coming up. You have free agency. You have cap space. You have a lot of avenues with which you can solve and go a long way towards solving these problems and building something really special for the future. I mean, it's super exciting once you get to the off season and see that.
Yeah.
But right now, you got to deal with these games, and the best way you can deal with them is be as competitive as possible and see where the holes are, where the really deep ones are, where the this is sort of a shallow hole, like we could get by with
right.
doing this. And there are a lot of instances. We can go through all the examples, but we won't do that right now.
I think if there is going to be another change,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's for a full game or if it's just an alternation
a
situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Kenyon and I guess Justin McCray would be the other guy, or Jimmy, or somebody alternating with Kenyon. And I know that disrupts.
Can Morrissey play guard?
Can what? I think he could if you asked him to. I mean, remember last year, Jimmy's first start was against Raekwon Davis. I remember the very first play. I remember you looked over at me, and I'm watching Jimmy Morrissey against Raekwon Davis, and my eyes just went, whoa. And he did pretty well. He did pretty well. Now, so I don't know. But I would think offensively, if you took a step back and you went, okay, where would you make changes?
Maybe Jimmy plays center.
Maybe Jimmy plays center. So, I mean, we'll see.
Maybe McCray plays center. I don't know. McCray could play center.
Maybe there's something that's going to be happening, I would imagine, with the interior.
Yeah.
I think that's well, where there would be another change if there is one.
Exactly. And to your point before, yes, you make some changes, and maybe some of them are not as permanent as others, but you're having a look with some different people in there to really get the full evaluation going. Because, again, if nothing else, you need that information. You need that data going into the off season. And it's too bad it has to be against Miami on the road. But I guess, play one of the best teams right now and see where you're at.
At this point, what do you got to lose?
You're a 14. Like
I mean, I hate to say it like that, but in essence, that's you're facing Miami. Let it all hang out.
Yeah.
I mean, let it all hang out. Because to beat Miami, you're going to have to score 31.
Gosh, if Kyle Allen plays well, we're going to be wondering, what would have happened in the Bears game, the Denver game, this game, that game?
And we're not already doing that?
Well, we're already doing that, but some of the things early that Mills was doing well, like the turnover problems, have been worse lately, right?
And completion percentage has been worse lately.
Which is really weird, because that's where he's supposed to shine,
right,
and where this offense is supposed to click with easy, gettable passing at the short range in particular, right?
Yeah.
And it just hasn't been there. And you have to be accurate in this league if you're going to be effective. If you're not that accurate, you better have a howitzer and be making plays deep downfield and making things happen that way.
Well, looks like you're making things happen, breaking mics and everything over there.
My microphone came up, but nobody heard it, and I'm just going to put it right back on.
Yeah,
here.
As we talk, nobody would have known. I just happened to do it because I almost started laughing. People would be wondering, why are you laughing, John? I don't know. Things just
I like to hold the microphone happen. Like Sinatra. Start spreading the news.
Well, my old radio station, they used to have these stand mics.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like the stand mic. So I would ask. I was high maintenance, of course.
Yeah.
I would ask for a hand. I would handheld. I would.
You
do
the show with a handheld?
Yeah. I liked it.
Oh,
I liked it better.
I don't like holding the mic, though.
You know why? Because you know me. You know how I am. I get in studio. And then I start getting comfortable, and I put my feet up,
and I
kick back, and I slouge, and I do all that. And so I would just hold the mic, I was fine. So you got these stand mics, and now I have to sit up proper, and it hurts my back.
You can still hold it like a regular handheld microphone. You know, I like that for MC.
Makes me feel
stuff.
Like Freddie Mercury at.
Yeah. It's got the little stand on. It's a half stand.
The little half looked like a sword at the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay. On a different note, it is Thanksgiving Friday, so I want to hit this real fast. I was watching on our last trip to, where do we go? New Jersey. On the screen, they had all these, different movies and documentaries you could get. And they had these top 10 from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Mercury at Live Aid.
Yeah.
They were saying was one of the top 10 water cooler moments in the 80s.
No. It's more relevant now than it was then. People talked about it then.
Yeah.
But Live Aid was full of performances.
Right.
And Mercury did great. And it's documented well in the Queen movie where they were in their careers at that point and how big that was for them. But honestly, Johnny, I was right there during. I wasn't there, but I was right there as a music aficionado then. And that performance, as well regarded as it was not quite the iconic. Because stuff for stuff to become iconic, you need the passage of time to go along with it.
Right.
I mean, Mercury dies. Wayne's World popularizes Bohemian Rhapsody again.
Right.
The Queen movie. Queen is bigger now almost than they ever were in that way. And that performance gets magnified over time. So I would disagree that that's a top 10 water cooler moment.
One of the things they said, and I wish I knew the numbers to this, that the donations to Live Aid were very low.
And that brought them up?
Queen got on stage, performed, and apparently the donations went through the roof.
I have a hard time believing that. I mean, maybe that's true, but
yeah,
look, they had...
That's why I asked the music aficionado in my
life. People
should
look at the Live Aid list and who played.
It's amazing.
It was magnificent.
Oh, my God, it was
incredible.
Phil
Collins played both England, both coasts, or both countries. He flew over... And played at JFK. Was it JFK Stadium in Philly?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's where
JFK. RFK's Washington.
Zeppelin
JFK's Philly.
Played. They reformed to play without John Bonham, of course. So I think Collins drummed with them. I think Collins is a hell of a drummer from Genesis.
That's
amazing. Drummed in the Led Zeppelin comeback.
Wow.
I believe that's when he did that. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but they had so many good performances at Live Aid. So I'm not going to say Queen was bad. They were excellent. That's a hell of a performance. You know, my favorite Queen performance without him is the George Michael doing Somebody to Love at Wembley.
Yes.
That's just awesome. YouTube that folks. Movie. That will just send chills down your spine. He is a hell of a performer with that band, that song. They are awesome.
Yeah.
That's a he's got the crowd in the palm of his hand at that point.
That's incredible.
It's really fun to watch.
Yesterday being Thanksgiving.
Oh, did you?
I
was hoping you'd bring this up.
Two things. Number one. The games were incredible.
They were, except if you wanted to see the end of
if you
Detroit,
wanted to see the
Buffalo
end.
Game.
We're going to get to that one, too, in just a second. But all three Thanksgiving games were inside.
Is that so? Yeah.
All three were inside. That feels a little Thanksgiving sacrilegious, sort of, so to speak.
Well, but hang on a second. Detroit
always has it. I mean, I know.
They're always
still.
Inside. And Dallas is...
But all of our turkey bowls, your turkey bowl, it's all outside.
I know. It's fun.
It's in gray, cold, snowy weather.
Yeah, and
that's all inside.
I'm a little sore today. I don't mind telling you.
Yeah, it's okay.
Because you use a lot of muscles you don't normally use. Like, the stop and start is not... Even basketball is not quite the same as playing that touch football.
It's different. All right, let's get to it. So I talked about it with Seth. KHOU cuts in... 30 seconds left in a 25-25 game.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, at first when he cut in, we were out eating, right? We ate out yesterday. And I was like, looking up at the monitor, and I thought, well, they're just doing this for 60 seconds. They're going to go right back to the game. And then it went on. I thought, I guess they're into overtime now. We missed the failure by Buffalo to score, and we're in OT. Send us back. And then I go to my app, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, they scored, and we missed it.
Yeah.
And they're still up there repetitive, doing the same weather update. The lie about the FCC demands that you stay on the air during a tornado warning.
What was that?
I've never even heard of that. Now, if there is, apparently a lower third, a little box would do, so they should have done that. And KHOU, Johnny, the thing about that is the ratings yesterday for these games, they're always massive. Especially that. That was a great game. Massive number for KHOU.
Massive.
I don't even have to look, and I can easily tell you that's a top 30 rating of the year on KHOU, that moment right there. So they stepped on it, and a lot of our listeners, those more seasoned, would have heard of the Heidi game, which was between the Jets and the Raiders, and they missed the end of the game because they put the movie Heidi on at 7 p.m. Eastern, and it's a famous story.
This changed the whole TV rules forever.
This is the Houston Heidi game. This is the Houston Heidi game. Didn't involve a local team, but it was a game that people were enjoying with their families and wanted to watch. Tyler Marcotte, our video guru, one of them.
Yeah.
He's from Michigan. He had all these Michiganders down watching the game, Lions fans, and they freaked out that they missed the end of this one.
Oh, it was brutal. It was brutal. I knew I was going to watch it at some point, so I didn't lose it. And I certainly was not going to put anything out on the Twitters.
But you're that guy, Johnny.
But Sean Pendergast put it out on the Twitters, and he has been fighting.
Oh, he went nuts.
He's just been fighting him all day, just swatting him off. Because really, there's no excuse for you could have at least double boxed it.
No excuse.
There's no excuse for that. You could have at least done that.
Johnny, Hurricane Harvey, all right?
Yeah.
Saturday night when it hit,
right?
We had a preseason game on ABC 13. They didn't even cut away from the preseason game.
Yeah.
All right. They double boxed it, yep. And they talked about the hurricane. Hurricane Harvey.
And it was hitting. It was hitting at that
it wasn't
moment.
Like tornado warning. Right. And look, tornado warnings are serious. I don't want to make light of any of this, but Hurricane Harvey hitting, and they double boxed the game. So you can do it, KHOU.
You could have served two different audiences, yeah. For sure, yeah. If you wanted to,
God bless
to do
you,
that KHOU. For sure.
You had a lot of publicity, but it's not the kind you want.
Nice. Mark, thank you very much.
Thanks,
we'll be back
with a little Kyle Allen audio jukebox. That's next right here on Texans All Access. Welcome back to this Friday edition of Texans All Access. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter. And Kyle Allen, named starting quarterback on Friday officially. There had been sources that spoke with Mike Garofalo that said Kyle Allen would be a starter. Thanksgiving was Thursday, announced it on Friday. And then Kyle Allen went to the podium to speak. He spoke on any number of things, obviously. The biggest thing was getting this opportunity. And he talked about how the past 4 years in the league, has really been helping him this week get ready for another opportunity to start in the NFL.
I mean, I think reps and experience and the more you see things and, you know, even just practice and seeing how this team plays and, you know, just different scenarios, it all helps. You know, just being able to have played a bunch in my past and seeing tons and tons of looks, you know, it's every year helps.
Kyle last started October 2020, and then he was, I think it was against the New York Giants, and broke his leg, has not started since. He played in two games last year for the Washington Commanders. Both games, it just happened to be that they were against the Cowboys. He was 12-19. I think it was 120 yards, a touchdown, no interception. So this will be the first start in over a couple years for Kyle Allen. But he is very appreciative of the opportunity.
It's cool for me. This is year five. I've played every single year of my career. I was undrafted. You know, there's been a lot of adversity. The last start I had was in 2020 when I broke my leg. So this is the first start since breaking my leg. So personally for me, it's kind of a cool, you know, overcoming adversity moment and getting back on the field. It was really tough being injured and last year kind of still injured, powering through that. And then this year feeling good and being able to get back out there. So personally, it's awesome. I mean, you go into the season just wanting to play your role, but you always want to see time on the field. So I'm excited.
No doubt he is pumped to be on the field for Sunday against the Dolphins. And so he was asked what this week was like being named the starter. Now, obviously, we found out officially on Friday, but he found out much earlier in the week. So what was the week like, Kyle Allen?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really know anything early in the week. We were just kind of splitting reps, and then today he told me I was playing. But, you know, every week I try and go and put in my mindset like I'm gonna play, you know, whether I'm not starting or whatever, I might have to play at any point. So it's always been the way of my career. I've been the backup most of my career. I've played a bunch though too, but when I'm the backup, I always am in my brain, I gotta be ready to play.
Being a backup, it's an interesting spot because you may not see the field. And Kyle has not seen the field in what we played 10 games. He's not seen the field in 10 games, but you got to prepare like you're going to be the starter because one helmet come flying off, one concussion protocol, one sprained ankle, and you're on the field, and that thing's got to run smoothly. And I've thought about all the different quarterback changes since 2014, since I've been on the sideline. And I thought back to Tom Savage in 2014 when he was the backup to Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I remember during the game, Andre Ware was like, Fitzy, you have to be careful. He scrambled once, got a first down. It's like, do you know who your backup is? You got to be careful. Well, a little while later, Fitzy, not being careful, dove, broke his leg. Tom had to come in, turned the wrong way on one run, dropped a snap on another, and it was a really bumpy start, and it really cost us in that game because we ended up scoring to take the lead. We got a call back for a holding, but Tom got a little bit of a groove in the second half, but it just took so long to get going. And so Tom had prepared, but he's a rookie. He wasn't really sure, like, what do I need to do? What do I need to know? All those things kind of really hit him right in the face in that game. Well, Kyle's going to be ready for that. There's no doubt. Now, he was asked about potentially jumpstarting the offense. It's something that Lovey referred to. Here's Kyle's thoughts about jumpstarting this offense.
I mean, just execute, I think. I don't think there's anything special that needs to be done or crazy. I just think we need to execute and, You know, we just need to make plays. I think situational football is going to be huge. I think we've struggled in situational football a bunch, so hopefully we can be good in third downs, red zone, 2 minute, just stuff like that. I think those areas are really important in the game, and I think we can improve in those areas. But for me personally, I'm just trying to execute and do what I can do to help the team. It's a team game at the end of the day, so we all got to play good.
No doubt. People got to pick Kyle up. Kyle's got to pick them up, and they got to feed off of one another. Now, the starters have been pretty much the starters all year long, and because Davis has played every single rep, it's to be expected that Kyle hasn't had much time with the starters. So how much time has he gotten with the starters in preparation for Sunday?
Yeah, not much, to be honest with you. Even in preseason, I mean, Scott, who's been playing center, he was the two in preseason, so I did get a lot of reps with Scott. So I'm really comfortable with Scott. But honestly, outside of that, not many. But I always watch all the receivers. You know, I'm good friends. I'm close with all the receivers. That's why, for me, it's really important for me to just build relationships around the locker room, because when it comes time for me to have to play, these guys got to trust me out there. They got to know who I am. So I think OTAs, training camp throughout the season, it's a real priority of me to build relationships with everybody.
For as much as this is a physical grind, physical hitting, raw kind of game, he said it. This whole thing is about relationships. If people trust you, they'll play for you. It's that simple. You'll play for the guy next to you if you trust him. No matter the sport, him or her, if you trust him and you create a synergy, man, it's magic. That's magic. And hopefully that's what happens on Sunday, is a little bit of Kyle Allen magic for this offense. All right, Kyle was then asked about, had he been preparing for an opportunity like this one that he was about to get on Sunday?
I mean, I think wherever I signed, wherever it was going to happen, I was going to be ready to play no matter what. You know, I trained the off season to get ready to play. I mean, it's just football, you know. I come here to hopefully not play the whole season, you know, be a backup. So I'm ready to play.
Now, on Sunday with Kyle starting, obviously, Davis Mills is going to be a backup. And when you've been the starter for 10, 21 games for this organization, and then you're benched for another guy, a guy that you've gotten pretty close to in the year that you've been together, man, it can have a pretty interesting, I guess is lack of a better term, intriguing impact on a player. So Kyle was asked, what's been the impact on Davis? And how do you look at it for Davis? This is probably his most insightful answer, and it's about his teammate, which I think is insightful on Kyle himself.
I don't think it'll put a dent in his confidence. I think Davis, I've said this since I got here, I think Davis is extremely talented. And like me early in my career, you just need reps. You need to be able to work through things and maybe hit a little adversity, and how he responds to it, it can either get better or worse. And I think he's gonna respond to it great. I told him, like, this isn't over for you, you know? I think a lot of times, you were around when I was at Houston. I've been benched in my career. I've been taken off. I've been benched. Blah, blah, blah. I've been through it all, you know? And I think you just keep pushing through it, he's going to be just fine. He's a really good quarterback, a great person. He gets it. It's just sometimes stuff like this happens, man. You got to push through.
Yeah, Kyle's seen all sides of this thing. He's a five-star quarterback coming out of high school out of Arizona. He's the stud at A&M. Kyler Murray comes in the next year. Because Kyler Murray is who Kyler Murray is, and Kyler Murray's dad is who Kyler Murray's dad is, there are some things that happen at Texas A&M, and Kyle is given an opportunity, and it's kind of taken away, and then he gets the opportunity, it's kind of taken away. He's like, I'm done with this. He ends up transferring to the University of Houston. That opportunity was not the greatest for him. He ends up moving on to the NFL. He starts in 2019 for the Carolina Panthers. They look for somebody else. He moves on. He gets hurt. I mean, this thing is a moving target at all times. Until you get to a Mahomes, Josh Allen, Matt Stafford sort of level, it's going to be like that. And it's probably going to be like that for a lot of guys. You just look around at the top. You look at the bottom, not the bottom half, but if you rank quarterbacks 1 through 32 and you look at the second half, 17 through 32, I bet a lot of guys have maybe that similar stories. But they've gone through some things. Kyle Allen has definitely gone through some things, and he can be a great sounding board for Davis Mills as always. Now, a guy that's stepped up for this team has been Dameon Pierce. and he's helped, and this running game has helped this entire offense. And Kyle was asked about having that running game to help him on Sunday.
Yeah, it's great, and we've committed to it too. You know, that's why last game when we were struggling in the run game, it hurts the whole offense. You know, we're a run identity team, so it's great. Damien's played awesome. You know, Rex is obviously a seasoned vet in the league. He's played great, and then Dari's been awesome in the spurts he's got too. So, yeah, we need to get him going on Sunday.
One thing he said I thought was very interesting: we are a run identity team. I thought that was interesting. And that's really got to come to the forefront. That's got to be something that this Texans team is so completely committed to. We are physical, and we have got to push people off the ball. Now, that hasn't been happening. But if that's the true identity of this team, that's got to come to the forefront. And lastly, from Kyle Allen, taking advantage of opportunities when they're given. As I mentioned, opportunities have not always been there for Kyle, but when he has gotten one, he's taken advantage of them. And this is him talking about this particular opportunity.
Yeah, Miami, they're a good front. Obviously, trading for Bradley Chubb was huge for them. I think their defense is kind of the way a lot of defenses are going. Now they're going to a five-man front and playing just man and cover three behind it. And I think they don't do much, but what they do it really well. I think they've calmed down the blitz a little bit from last year, but they're still blitzing a lot. And obviously, their offense can put up points at will. So it's gonna be a great challenge. You know, 7-3. McDaniel's got them rolling over there. Tua's playing great. Defense is playing great. I think we're up for the challenge, but it's going to be a great challenge.
Kyle, you've had special moments in your career. Where does this one stack up for you at this juncture?
I mean, I think it's just cool to be able to get the opportunity to go back out there. I think in the NFL, you get opportunities. Like, there's always opportunities to be had. You got to keep taking advantage of them, though. And I feel like over my career, I've done a really good job of taking advantage of opportunities when I've been given them. So I'm always really grateful to get these opportunities because you don't know when they're going to run out.
That last part, you don't know when they're going to run out. I think he's got a great outlook on this, and I'm really excited to see Sunday what Kyle Allen is going to do. All right, we get back. We're going to go around the NFL, hit some of the news items, players in, players out, kind of fantasy updates and status report for everybody on both sides of the Miami Dolphins, Houston Texans ledger and the status report. That's next on Texans All Access. Hey, happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to a Texans All Access Friday edition. A post-Thanksgiving, oh, we have got to go on a diet edition of Texans All Access. I'm your host, John Harris, football and a sideline reporter. And it's just me who has to go on the diet, not you guys. I cooked my you-know-what off this weekend. Me and my son, and I handled it. I didn't do turkey. But I got some pies, too. And they were good. Flying Saucer Pie Company, thank you very much. Shout out, chocolate strawberry. Oh, my goodness. So we've knocked down two of them. We still got one left. But I got a feeling that thing's going to be gone in the next few hours after the show. That is for show. All right, let's get to some news around the NFL. But let's start with Texans v. Dolphins, the status report that comes out every Friday. It's not a long one, which I think is good. But there's one piece of news on there that's not totally great, and I don't like that. And that is Derek Stingley Jr. Deal with that hamstring is out. He's the only player listed as out. Malik Collins, Neville Hewitt were full participants in practice today. Malik with the chest and Neville Hewitt with that hamstring. So those two guys are both in on Sunday, which is nice. Now on the Dolphins side, Teddy Bridgewater is questionable with a knee. He was a limited participant practice all week long. Raheem Mostert, doubtful, dealing with the knee issue as well. So anybody I've ever seen is doubtful. I don't think I've ever seen anybody play. So if doubtful is akin to out. So Mostert, Bridgewater, don't know about Bridgewater. Obviously, he's backing up Tua. But Mostert, it's a big one. Jeff Wilson's going to have to carry that load at 81 degrees, weather is projected to be on Sunday. So heat of the battle, he's the guy. Now, Damian Pierce has to deal with that as well. But Damian's played football in Florida before. He knows. And then he plays football in Houston. So he gets it. He gets how hot it's going to be. So each back is going to need a little bit of a rest. But Raheem Mostert from the Miami Dolphins is doubtful. More than likely, that is going to mean he is out of this one, so we'll keep our eyes on that. Arizona's taking on the Chargers. Kyler Murray and Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown to you and me, are on track to return versus the Chargers. So if you got either one on your fantasy team, it looks like Kyler Murray and Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, on track to return against the Chargers. Now, one that's not as sure is Justin Fields. He is listed as questionable to play against the New York Jets due to a left shoulder injury. It's been described as basically an AC joint. And if there's anything I can speak to, it's that one. I can speak on a few things. It's that one. That AC joint is an absolute witch with a B. It's not fun. I had that many, many years ago. Now, it's listed as a shoulder separation, but it's right on top of your shoulder. And it is painful to the touch like nothing I ever felt. I mean, it's awful. So with as much as Justin Fields runs the ball, that AC joint really becomes pain tolerance. Now, in the game against us back in week 3, Justin was feeling it. I mean, he was on the ground a few times. He had been banged up. He's listed as questionable. I don't know if the Bears would be smart to even chance it at this point. He was limited in practice all week. Eberflus has kept the door open for the quarterback to play, but noted Fields would need to be cleared by the medical staff. I wouldn't do it. He has really become the franchise. He has taken his game to a whole different level. And because he runs the ball as much as he does, going out there with a sprained AC joint or an injured AC joint, just no. Just don't do it. Cincinnati. Joe Mixon is out playing the Tennessee Titans. So no Joe Mixon. However, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe. Zach Taylor said Friday that Mixon would miss the game against Tennessee due to concussion that Mixon suffered in Week 11 against Pittsburgh. Chase has been out for a few weeks, and he might be back. So I can't help you with your fantasy team there. That's kind of a wait and see. My gut tells me Cincinnati is going to hold off if Chase is not 100%. Give it another week. Let him go. Let him get healthy. But no Joe Mixon for the Cincinnati Bengals. That is a big one in that game. News out of Buffalo, Von Miller in the Thanksgiving game. Man, Thanksgiving games were great. I mean, just great. I'll talk about it a little bit later. Von Miller has a lateral meniscus tear, will be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days. It's not the worst thing, but it's not the best thing. Apparently, Von will need surgery on this, but just don't know when. And that could end his season if he did it now. He could wait till after the season and do it after the season. We'll see what Von Miller chooses to do, but that is a key one to watch in Buffalo. All right, when we get back, we're going to go behind enemy sidelines and play a little Jenga with Drew Doherty. That's next on Texans All Access. We got 1 hour down, 1 hour left to go on this Friday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter. Glad to be with you. We got a little double dip of DP and Drew. Wow, look at that. Alliteration coming to you. We're going to start off with DP Sidhu, who goes behind enemy sidelines each and every week. And this week, well, it's to talk about the Dolphins. And that means Marcel Louis-Jacques, who covers the Dolphins, knows them inside and out. So DP sat down, picked his brain, and, well, this is what happened.
Going behind enemy sidelines with Marcel Louis-Jacques. He covers the Miami Dolphins for ESPN NFL Nation. I've spoken with Marcel in the past. Marcel, welcome in, and what a season the Dolphins are having. I think this time last year, Dolphins were 4-7. Now here they are at 7-3.
Yeah, what a change from a year ago when all the conversation was between the Dolphins and Texans was about a potential trade. But Tua Tagovailoa, they stuck with him, and they're reaping the benefits from it. Now, he's been one of, if not the most efficient passer in the NFL. Tyreek Hill has been the best wide receiver in the NFL. Mike McDaniel, going to be a finalist for Coach of the Year at this rate as well. Just a complete 180 as far as the Dolphins' fortunes have come over the past year.
All right, tell me a little bit about Mike McDaniel. I mean, as a first-year head coach, what can you tell us about him and really what's been the catalyst behind him turning things around so quickly for the Dolphins?
Well, I mean, the first thing that people are going to say when they try to describe Mike McDaniel, people who work with him, is that he's a genius. They say super genius, brilliant play designer and play caller, really understands the game. And that resonates in the locker room, that resonates with people and players. But he's also a people person. He knows how to connect to his players. He's not a rah-rah, in-your-face, hard-nosed kind of guy, and that's not really his style. He's honestly optimistic to a fault, if you ask Tagovailoa. But that kind of approach has really built trust in this locker room. And through adversity, I asked Tua, hey, like, when was the moment where you knew what kind of person Mike was? He said, after we were on a, you know, when we lost our first game, he was the same person in the locker room. Same optimism, same positivity, same uplifting style. When they lost two in a row, he was the same guy. When they lost three in a row, he was the same guy. And that kind of character trait goes a long way in a locker room, to the point where they know they trust him through adversity. They trust him moving forward, and they will play for him. So he is, he's been as advertised, I would say, through his first, I guess we're at 8 months, 9 months with the team.
All right, as far as Tua Tagovailoa, I mean, you talk about 180s. I mean, he's done no less than that. I mean, this time last year, there were, like you mentioned, the trade rumors. He dealt with a concussion earlier this year, which was really scary. But overall, completing 71% of his passes, 18 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. What's impressed you most about Tua and his ability to handle adversity?
It's just the hyper-efficiency with which he distributes the ball. He's a guy who it felt like was kind of reacting to defenses last year and the year before, but this newfound confidence with a supportive coaching staff, with a system that obviously works and that he believes in, we're seeing a guy who is now dictating the flow of the game when he's under center. He's telling defenses, you adjust to me, you're playing against me, not the other way around. And that kind of confidence is why you're seeing the hyper-efficient numbers. You're seeing him set career highs already in passing touchdowns. He's obviously on pace for new career highs in completion percentage and passing yards. But even the high analytics, like, you know, added expected points added per dropback, he's top in the league despite missing, you know, the better part of 3 games. He's just been, you know, if you're a Dolphins fan watching him play, it's gotten to a point where when they take the field, you kind of expect them to score. When they go down by 2 scores, you don't get that same, well, I guess let me start to plan out the rest of my Sunday feeling that you did in years past. You genuinely get the feeling that a game is never over as long as he's healthy and playing in the game.
He's got a phenomenal duo in Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, who went to high school not too far from here. They're putting up such tremendous numbers, combining for over 2,000 receiving yards. How do those two really play off each other? It seems like he's doing a really good job of distributing the ball well between the two of them.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of motion. You're going to see a lot of movement before the snap. And what that's meant to do is it's meant to get defenses just a little bit uncomfortable and try to extract the slightest bit of hesitation from them. Because Hill and Waddle are so fast that even a little bit of hesitation, even a little uncertainty with what your assignment is or where you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to guard, could be the difference between maybe a 5-yard completion or even an incompletion and a 45-yard catch. And, you know, they're, I guess, free of egos here, which seems ironic considering how loud of a presence, how large of a presence and personality that Tyreek Hill is. But he's truly come into the locker room as the highest paid player on the team and led by example, to the point where, I mean, he took the ping pong table out of the locker room after they lost, I believe, a game or two in a row. And while everybody loved that ping pong table, they knew, okay, if this guy is telling us it's time to refocus, it's time to sharpen our effort, they knew he was going to go out and lead by example. He was going to go out and be the first one on the field, last one off. He was going to put in the overtime, you know, after games, before games, after practice. That he's somebody they can look at and know, all right, he's never going to tell us something that he's not also willing to do. So I think that has trickled down to Jaylen Waddle, still a young and impressionable receiver. And it could have been tough for him. You know, he was the clear-cut number one option for this team entering the offseason after setting an NFL rookie record for receptions in a season. But and you heard Mike McDaniel was so excited about what he's going to be able to do with him before the Tyreek Hill trade. You know, he could have pouted and he could have rolled his eyes and said, wow, like there goes my spotlight. But he's truly embraced it as well, to the point where this isn't a number one and number two. This is a, I mean, it's 1A and 1B. And they're kind of interchangeable for who gets which letter.
I mean, in addition to the passing game, Lovie Smith said the one thing that really stood out to him about this offense was the commitment to the run. How has McDaniel used those backs in tandem with the passing game?
It's big. Ever since trading for Jeff Wilson, it's kind of reinvigorated this kind of stagnant rushing offense over the first 8 weeks of the season. But, you know, in week 9 and 10, you have seen physicality. You've seen energetic running. You've seen two guys in Mostert and Wilson who really can play off of each other. And it just seemed to kind of, like I said, reinvigorate this team on either side of the ball, honestly, because this is another reunion between former 49ers with Mostert, Wilson, and McDaniel. And I even asked Mike, look, is it the physicality of Jeff Wilson? Is that what this team was missing? He's like, no, it just can't be explained. That he said before Jeff got there, he was saying, I don't know how to describe it, guys. Just wait, and you'll see. And we've seen it. Kristen Wilkins, their defensive tackle, said, I don't know who makes him so mad before a game, but that guy just runs angry. And every time he lowers a shoulder into somebody and he drags on for an extra 2, 3, 4 yards, that it just ignites the entire sideline. And that kind of energy translates even when Wilson's not on the field. So it's been between that and, you know, they're hopefully resurgent defensive play. We saw a real turning point for Miami for the better over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Bradley Chubb, because Denver traded the pass rusher to the Dolphins earlier this month. What sort of impact has he made on the defense so far?
Well, it's only been a couple of games, and his first against Chicago, I mean, came with only a couple of days of practice. Statistically, wasn't too big of an impact, but you could see the seeds starting to sprout. You could see the foundation and the reason why they traded for him. And last week he was just so disruptive, or 2 weeks ago, so disruptive against the Cleveland Browns. And what it allows him, the Dolphins, to do is overload an offensive line, especially when they put Chubb, Jalen Phillips, and Melvin Ingram on the field at the same time with Christian Wilkins. That is four guys who are all adept at rushing the passer. And again, when I asked Bradley, hey, what do you see from opposing O-lines when all of you guys are on the field at the same time? He said a lot of confusion and chaos. O-line saying, okay, he's here, guys. He's here. Grab him. Watch for this. Watch for that. And it's all part of that, you know, dictating the flow of a game and making somebody uncomfortable, making somebody hesitate. Because, again, like a defense, if this offensive line hesitates for just a second on where they're supposed to be or who they're supposed to block, then one of those four guys is going to get home. And we saw the sprouts of that against the Browns, saw it start to blossom against the Browns. And they're hoping to keep it going against, you know, what's been kind of a struggling Houston Texans offensive line.
Well, the Dolphins, it seems like whatever weaknesses they've had, they've sort of addressed them over the course of the season or through trades. But coming out of the bye now, what are some of the biggest areas of improvement for Miami here through the final 7 games of the season?
Well, the defense, they need to make sure that this trend we saw against the Browns is an actual trend and not just an outlier, because they were not one of the more efficient teams in terms of getting to the quarterback through the first 9 weeks of the season. Their passing defense, the secondary has been decimated, sure, but the passing defense has also given up, you know, one of the highest completion percentages to opposing quarterbacks in the league. It's when you look at areas they need to improve, it's mainly in those areas, getting home and defending against the pass. They've been stout against the run. You know, did a very good job against Nick Chubb. When they've been gashed, it's usually been when a guy like Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields comes onto the field. And there's a lot of people who are struggling to defend those two when they decide to take off and run. But that, I think it's scary for the rest of the league if the Dolphins can kind of recapture their defensive performance from a season ago, because that was the idea entering 2022 was, wow, we just supercharged this offense. If last year's defense, which led the NFL in expected points added, if that defense shows up, then this is a Super Bowl contending team. I think it's a team that can beat Buffalo. I think it's a team that can hang in there and maybe even beat Kansas City, especially if they're playing them at home in the playoffs. It's really a, you know, you like to be cautious. You like to be reasonable when it comes to lofty expectations. But if that defense clicks, I think we've seen what this offense is and what it can be already. This would be one of the best teams in the NFL, if not number one.
All right, great insight from Marcel Louis-Jacques. You can catch him on ESPN NFL Nation covering the Miami Dolphins. Marcel, appreciate the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely tremendous stuff there, going behind enemy sidelines, learning a little bit more about the Miami Dolphins from Marcel Louis-Jacques, who covers the Dolphins for ESPN. Now, the man charged with blocking those aqua shirt. Actually, will they wear white? I don't remember. They'll wear some aqua, I'd imagine, on Sunday, but we'll find out soon enough. It is going to be 81 degrees. They may not wear a dark color. Maybe they want to wear that white. Either way, Troy Harrison playing fullback, played defensive end last year at Central Michigan. Now he's a head-knocking fullback, and they love him. Lovie Smith talked about him. We talked about him with Lovie this week. They just love what that guy brings, and he's really good at Jenga, but can he beat the king, Drew Doherty? Well, it's a little Drew's Dozen playing Jenga. Drew, take it away.
Straight out of Detroit, we got a guy who grew up there and then went to Central Michigan and was awesome on the defensive side of the ball. He was sacking quarterbacks, dropping dudes behind the line of scrimmage. So good, in fact, he was the defensive player of the year for the MAC. Mr. Mack, though, came to the NFL, and they switched him over to fullback, and now he's busting heads, clearing the way for one of the greatest running backs in team history in Damian Pierce. We're talking about one of the best fullbacks in the land. They call him T-Roy. We're going to call you Troy Harrison by your name. Good to see you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Let's play a little Jenga. You're familiar with the game, right?
Yeah, I am.
We can't pull from the top three rows. You can only use one hand when you're doing it. Okay. Don't knock this over. And when you pull a block, you'll ask the question and you'll answer it. When I pull a block, I'll ask the question, but you'll still answer it. So it's all about you.
Okay, cool, cool. Yep.
Let's do it.
So I go first?
You're first, of course.
Were you a Disney or Nickelodeon kid? Oh, I was definitely a Nickelodeon kid. Yeah. I used to watch Jimmy Neutron, stuff like that. Like, they used to have Boomerang at the end of Nickelodeon. So at the end of the night, they used to have the old Flintstones and old cartoons.
Oh, yeah, the old stuff. Okay, yeah, okay. So. Now, speaking of the Flintstones, did I hear you have a nickname, Bam Bam? Are some people calling you that?
Yeah. It kind of, I think our OC or Danny Barrett had actually called me that, and it kind of stuck.
That's pretty good. You can kind of connect with Bam Bam. I like. Who is your celebrity lookalike?
Okay, so growing up, people used to make fun of me because of Troy from High School Musical. I've been told I look like Corbin Bleu.
That's the most unique one we've ever had on the show.
Really?
So, yeah, most people say something else, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah. But I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
I like it.
I used to hear it a lot. So
it's better than that. It could be much, much worse. Always remember that. Always remember that. Okay, you're up. You're up.
Which teammate is the best hype man?
Who gets you amped up the most?
Oh, I would probably have to say Dare. Dare has a handshake with everybody on the team.
Really?
So when we come out, everybody go to Dare, do a little handshake, and he'll talk to you before the game and get you a little hype.
He's very worldly, you know?
Definitely. So pay attention to him pregame because he'll go out and do different handshakes.
I'm going to check it out. Who kind of calms you down? Which teammate, if you need to get calmed down?
Probably Rex Burkhead.
Okay. Yeah, another
Rex. Yeah, he's wise, cool. He lets you know before the game start. You ready to go? Let's go.
What would your walk-up song be? If you walk into a room the rest of your life, you're walking up the plate as a baseball player.
This is going to be funny, but Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. The glass breaking and everything. Yeah, that's perfect.
You walk in there full of energy. So.
Wrestling guy? You like wrestling?
I used to when I was a kid.
Was he's your favorite?
Yeah, used to be.
He's got even if you don't like wrestling, he's got a hell of a podcast. You should listen to it.
Okay, cool.
Really good podcast. Really interesting stuff to really good interviewer.
What is your zodiac sign? I think it's Sagittarius.
Okay.
December 8th.
Okay.
So it's about Sagittarius, is that right?
Do you have those qualities that people say Sagittarius people have?
I don't know nothing about it.
There you go.
As far as that go, I don't know nothing about this.
No problem, yeah. Oh, we're gonna learn a lot about you here. What's your guilty pleasure song? Comes on in the car and you're by yourself, it comes on the car and you're just belting it out. But if there were other people in the car, you might not be singing it, or you just change the channel, or maybe you're singing it in the shower or don't want other people to hear you singing it.
It had to be Root by Magic.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's that go?
I don't want to see
it. Dang it, almost got you. Almost got you.
Yeah, see, it's a guilty pleasure. I can't see it in front of you.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, okay.
What is your most used emoji? Mm-hmm. The crying, like the laughing,
Heart, yeah. That's good. You're a laugher. You like having fun.
Yeah. So
and that smiling. Means you got friends that make you smile. That's good.
Definitely. That's how I express myself.
Which teammate has the most inaccurate Madden rating? So it's too low or it's too high?
Easily DP.
How come? What is it?
Easy. I think it's like a 74, 75. The way that dude run.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, to me, that's a 90. So at least a 90.
I'm with you, man. That's a good point.
Who has the best hair on the team? Me.
There you go. You've been the answer. When that block has been pulled before, you've been the answer on at least three or four of these. So
I've heard that before. So
yeah, and I've heard you even have told a few folks, hey, you need to try this. You need to try this technique. And so how extensive is the process for you?
It's not crazy for me. My parents blessed me. So, but it's just cream of nature. Shampoo and conditioner with curls and stuff like that.
Cream of nature. Okay. I think Jerry Hughes, you've talked with him about it a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. He got good hair too. So
great hair. Who on the team would you, first of all, do you have a sister or sister?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not. I have all brothers.
How many brothers you got?
I got three.
Bigger brothers?
One older, two younger.
One older, two younger. You're right in the middle. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Let's say you got a sister. You love your sister. Uh-huh. You want to protect your sister. So who on the team would you not let date your sister if you had a sister?
Who would I not let date my sister? I don't know. We have a good group of guys. I think everybody's okay.
You're a good rookie, man. I like that political answer. That's a good answer.
I think everybody okay.
Okay. You got a bunch of good dudes. Yeah. Fair enough.
So, favorite nickname?
You've got cool nicknames. I mean, we've already said T-Roy. We've already said Bam Bam. What else you got?
Bam Bam. When I was a kid, my parents used to call me Taz.
Taz?
Taz.
So was that?
Always hyper.
Because of Tasmanian Devil?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It'd probably be Bam Bam. Bam Bam is probably my, like, it sticks.
That's a great nickname. Yeah. Especially for a fullback.
Yeah. Sometimes Coach DB calls me T-Pain.
T-Pain? Because you're bringing the pain. T-Pain, yeah. So. Okay. Who's got the cleanest locker on the team?
I would probably have to say Mills. It's just a quarterback side.
Quarterback's
pretty neat. Who do you think had the highest SAT, ACT score on the team? Probably Book.
Thomas Booker. Yeah, he's a Stanford guy.
Stanford, really smart.
Yep.
He answers all the questions in our rookie meeting.
Well, Troy, it's been good playing with you. We really appreciate the time.
Appreciate it.
Let's do it again sometime.
Yes, cool. Sir.
That dude is absolutely awesome. Love having Troy Harrison on the show. All right, we get back. We got to actually double dip again because we got to do my keys to the game and we got to do all of our predictions. And we'll do them in that order next right here on Texans All Access. Oh, baby, two of my favorite segments combined in one. Welcome back to this Friday edition of Texans All Access. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter. And it's time for my keys to the game and my predictions for all games in the NFL this weekend. I already tell you, I'm 2-1. Well, let's see. I picked the Bills to win, Lions to cover, and that's 2-0. I picked the Cowboys to win, Cowboys to cover, and if they would have kicked the field goal and made it, I would have been 2-0 there, but 1-1 there. And then I picked the Vikings to win and cover. I did that, and I know I have a friend of mine that could vouch for me because I gave him my picks, and he took them and did with it whatever he chose to. So I know that I'm 5-1 thus far with those three games in my predictions. But we'll get to predictions in a little bit. It's time to start with my keys to a win over the Miami Dolphins. So give me my music, and this music's just going to roll, baby. It's just going to roll through the whole thing. And we're going fast. We got to get keys in and we got to get predictions. So let's go with keys and start with facing this Miami Dolphin offense. Oh my goodness. This group is 27th in the NFL in rushing. However, I'm going to give you a number in a little bit. So don't get caught up on that number yet and where they rank, because that's going to change in a little bit. They throw for 294 yards per game. That's second in the NFL. Yikes. They average 392 yards per game. That's third in the NFL. Double yikes. Tua Tagovailoa has found it. He is fantastic. Jeff Wilson was traded to the 49ers about 4 weeks ago. He's been unbelievable. Raheem Mostert is banged up and will not play in this game. Actually, he might have an illness, but he's doubtful. But everybody's doubtful. I've always seen being out, so I don't expect him. Tyreek Hill might be the best non-quarterback in the league. Jalen Waddle has been fantastic this year, averaging almost 18 yards a catch. We'll get to that. It's an offensive line that added three players to Robert Jones and Robert Hunt, and it's gone to a different level. So, let's talk about the keys. Number one, this ain't 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Now, I said this against the Giants. I said it against the Commanders. That's what they're aiming for. They're aiming for 3 to 4 yards in a cloud of dust. That's not this Dolphins offense. I said earlier, 98 yards per game on the ground, right? Remember that? Well, last week against the Browns, they doubled that. 195-yard rushing performance. Jeff Wilson went for over 100. Raheem Mostert in that game was very, very good as well. They will use their fair share of 21 personnel, meaning they'll have two backs on the field. Alec Ingold is typically the fullback. Now, I don't know what they'll do. It'll probably be Salvin Ahmed, who will be next to Jeff Wilson in the lineup. But they run the ball in a lot. They do a lot of different things. They do like a double wham type play. They got some gap plays. They got some zone plays. They create a lot of space. That's the biggest thing. They create a lot of space for their running backs. And that run game really started to take off, and I'm really worried about it, even though it says 27th in the league. They've been averaging 116 yards per game on the ground the last 6 games. That would put them about middle of the pack of the league. So 27th right now, but that's because they started off so badly against the run. Jeff Wilson has given them a real good kick in the backside with the run game. Number two is pick your poison. The addition of Tyreek Hill couldn't have gone any better. For Tua Tagovailoa, but also for Jalen Waddle. Check this out. Last year, Jalen Waddle caught 104 passes. He averaged under 10 yards a catch, 9.8 yards per catch. This year, he's got 51 catches. He has 878 yards to do the math for you. That's 17.2. He's almost doubled his yards per catch. And that really has a lot to do with Tyreek. It's got a lot to do with Mike McDaniel. But then you throw Tyreek in there, who has 81 catches on 106 targets. That's a 76-77% catch per target ratio. That's his highest in his career. So Tyreek is just crushing it. And you ask, well, which one is the most dangerous? And you just say yes. I don't know how you take them away. The one thing you got to take away are cheap and deep shots. No, nothing cheap, nothing deep. You just can't give them anything easy. And last and certainly not least, it's Tua Tagovailoa being lefty. Now, you start thinking about quarterbacks you've seen that are lefty. And I forgot about one that I watched a lot as a young adult. That was Mark Brunell in Jacksonville. But after that, Brunell, Steve Young, Michael Vick. But those guys have all been out of the league for a while. It's really been Tua Tagovailoa. So Desmond King, when he was talking with us this week, I just thought, man, that's have you faced a lefty much? He's like, no, I don't think I have. I don't know how much it fundamentally changes where you need to be on the route and all that, but things do change. Right tackle is the blindside tackle instead of the left tackle. Tua's going to like to escape to his left, which a lot of quarterbacks are going to escape to the strong hand, the right. So some things are going to be different. Some plays that they want to run. Mike McDaniel, mic'd up, was talking to Tua about asking him, do you want to fake right and roll left, or you want to fake left and roll right? Which one's better for you? And Tua's like, no, man, whatever you want. Whatever you want, I'm good with. So Tua can go both ways. He can do some different things. But being a lefty, it's a little dicey. And he can put plenty of RPMs on the ball. So that's going to be a tough one to stop with those three. Now, defensively, they give up 117 yards on the ground. That's 16th in the league, right in the middle. Passing yards, they give up 240. That's 22nd in the league overall. 357 yards per game they give up. That's 21st. They're minus two in turnover margin. 10 turnovers, 8 takeaways. They're minus two in turnover margin. They've added Bradley Chubb to the mix, traded for him. But the defense is relatively the same as it was last year. With the addition of Chubb, the addition of Melvin Ingram coming off the bench, giving him a little bit off the bench, and then Kadir Kohu, who is playing the corner spot right now for Byron Jones because Byron Jones is banged up. So on that side, first key, outside or inside? It's a question mark. Well, the inside people have been giving the Texans a lot of issues. Zach Seiler, Raekwon Davis, and Christian Wilkins are not the animals that they've seen. Now, they're quick, they're athletic, they're a little bit twitchier, but they're not as powerful. That might be helpful, might be very, very helpful. So take care of that inside. Help the inside guys, if at all possible. Let the two tackles go against Bradley Chubb and Ingram and Jalen Phillips one-on-one. That's why that tackle tandem is the way that it is. So let them do it. Number two, Hawaii 5-1. One of the things I noticed, especially against Washington, Washington would play a 5-1 look or a 3-3, depending on how you want to title it. Essentially, five down linemen, three down linemen, and two outside linebackers acting like defensive ends, and one linebacker up in nickel. And that's the key, is when you hear nickel, you think, oh, it's throwing. It's good. You stop the throw, right? Well, that's not quite. That actual grouping is perfect against teams that run the ball because they essentially cover the front five. So it's really hard to get a guy to that linebacker. A linebacker could run free and make some plays. The Texans got to figure out how they are going to block that. And finally, I mentioned that there's one rookie on this defense, and that's Kadir Kohou on the outside. A really good, young, emerging player, but he's more probably a better inside player than he's outside player. The Browns went right after him to start the game. Then they didn't have much success the rest of the game, but they went after him to start the game and got a deep ball to Donovan Peoples-Jones, scored a touchdown a few plays later. That might be something that the Texans can do with Kyle Allen and might need to do right off the bat. All right, those are your keys to the game. So let's... I try to do like a record flip switch sort of thing. And let's go to predictions, baby. Love doing it. Love getting the opportunity to talk about the league and do it, well, my way, basically. And that is to pick every single game and pick it straight up and against the spread. Now, like I said, 5-1 in the three games already. And that's on wax. I can tell you for a fact that that's the way that we picked them. So we got to buzz through what is left in the NFL. All right, Buccaneers taking on the Browns. The Browns will be the next team the Texans face. The Browns are playing at home. Tampa Bay is a 3.5-point favorite. I'm going with the Browns to cover this one. I think they'll get inside. I think this will be a very close game. 21-18, something along that ilk, 24-21. Buccaneers are going to go win. They're going to find a way. Tom Brady late will get a win. The Browns are going to end up getting a cover inside that 3.5. Bengals-Titans. Bengals, no Joe Mixon. I think that's going to end up hurting the Bengals. Maybe Ja'Marr Chase. My gut says no. Now, the Titans won't score a lot of points, but Cincinnati's favored by 2.5. Not buying it. A Titans team knows how to play and win at home. That's enough. Titans to win and cover in Nashville. Let's go to the Bears and Jets. Mentioned Justin Fields questionable. I don't think he'll play. So that makes this one a potential Mike White v. Trevor Siemian battle in the Big Apple, or like the Big Apple's neighbor in New Jersey. The Jets are favored by 6. I think the Jets end up winning and covering that game against the Bears. I don't buy Trevor Siemian. Justin Fields could play. He could play. But even at that point, with that shoulder, I don't know that he'll last long against that Jets defense. I think this would be one that the Bears would be wise to let Justin Fields sit and watch and let Trevor Siemian do what he can against the Jets. So Jets win and cover and get a win from Mike White. Falcons go to the Commanders. And the Falcons have been up and down. Up and down. Up last week. I think down this week. I think the Commanders are playing much better than they were earlier. I think they rally around Taylor Heineke. They're a 4-point favorite. I think they win and cover in Washington and move to 7-5. Man, the Commanders team has played very, very well, and they'll do that again against the Falcons. They might ugly up that game. It doesn't matter. They just want to run it and physically beat you up. And guess what? It works. It works. It works. Take lessons, Texans. We could learn that. Run it and beat people up. I like it. Broncos, Panthers. I cannot believe that I'm saying this. The Panthers are 3-8 at home. Sam Darnold looks like he's going to start. He is back healthy. Broncos, well, it doesn't matter who they're starting. I saw a stat today that said that the Broncos would be 9-1 if they just scored 18-plus points in every game. And they haven't. That's a 3-17. But I'm going with the Broncos. I can't believe it because I just don't buy Sam Darnold. I don't buy the Panthers. I think the Panthers' full-on tank is on, if you will. So I'm going Broncos. They're favored by 1. It's essentially a pick'em. So I'm going Denver to win it, and then they'll cover that 1 point. Ravens-Jaguars. Jaguars coming off a bye. Ravens have had struggles scoring. They've had struggles offensively. They're favored by 3.5 in Duval County. The Jaguars have played close games. This is the proverbial Ravens win, Jaguars cover sort of game. I think that's exactly what will happen. I don't know if it's high scoring, low scoring. I feel like mid, kind of 24-21-ish sort of thing. The Jags are going to force the Ravens to have to do something late to win that game. Jags cover, the Ravens get the close, narrow win. Chargers-Cardinals, I mentioned earlier, Kyler Murray. Looks like he's going to be back in Hollywood Brown, trending in the right direction. The Chargers lost one late to the Chiefs again. Chargers 5-5 now going out to Arizona. I think Arizona bounces back. The Chargers are favored by 3 on the road, but if Kyler Murray's playing and Hollywood Brown is back and Hop's on the field, I think it's going to be tough. I think Arizona bounces back after the Mexico City debacle, and the Cardinals get a win, and as an underdog, they will cover. Raiders going to the Seahawks. Seahawks are too good, man. They're only a 4-point favorite. I think they'll beat the Raiders by 7 or more. The Seahawks are rested. They are ready to go. The Raiders, well, they got that win against the Broncos in overtime, but they got to go back on the road. I think that ends up taking a toll on the Raiders. Seahawks win and cover that 4-point spread. Rams, Chiefs. This one's interesting because it's not Matt Stafford v. Patrick Mahomes. It's Bryce Perkins v. Patrick Mahomes. And if you're going, wait, huh? Yeah, Bryce Perkins. We saw him in the preseason, played at Virginia. Really good college player. I think he'll do some things that keep this one not close, but not 15.5. I think the Rams get inside that number. They still have A.A. Donald playing for them. So Rams inside the number to cover. Chiefs get the win at home. The Niners are the best team in football right now at 6-4. Yeah, I know what I just said. They're favored by 9.5 over the Saints in Santa Clara. I think the 49ers cover that. I think they beat them, the Saints, by 3 touchdowns. Packers and Eagles on a Sunday night. The Packers have a way of keeping close in the game, staying close in the game, and then doing just enough to shoot themselves in the foot to lose and not cover. I think the Eagles are way too good to give the game to. So Eagles are favored by 6.5. I think the Eagles cover that and win on Sunday night. And then on Monday night, you got Colts, Steelers in Indianapolis. Indianapolis favored by 2.5. There'll be a lot of talk about Jeff Saturday. Steelers got Kenny Pickett. He's done some good things. Put up 30 against the Bengals last week. However, Colts at home. I trust the defense, and I trust Matt Ryan to go get a win. So Colts will win and cover that 2.5. When we get back, we're going to hear a scouting report of the Dolphins from Nick Caserio and Drew Doherty's final word with Troy Harrison. That's next right here on Texans All Access. We got one final segment of this edition of Texans All Access. I am your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter, and I just gave you my keys to the game, also gave you my predictions, but mainly the keys are the most important thing. Because it talked about all the different things the Dolphins could do, how the Texans need to go about doing it. Of course, the impact of Kyle Allen in his first game as a starter for the Texans. Nobody gives a better scouting report of the opponent than general manager Nick Caserio. And I thought it was interesting to go back and listen to what Nick had to say. He gave a full and complete breakdown of this Dolphins roster, offense, defense, special teams, to Mark and I last Wednesday.
Yeah, no, they've done a really good job. Chris has done a good job, you know, putting the team together. It's Coach McDaniel's first year. I know he was here in Houston for a period of time. So I think the one thing that stands out offensively is you mentioned the three players that I'd say are the key to that, but they're a big 21 personnel team, which it's almost counterintuitive. You think of this big play, explosive offense, but they're in 21 personnel as much as any team in the league. So Ingold has a really big role, I would say, in sort of non-traditional positions or slots. He's in the backfield. He's on the line of scrimmage. They use motion, I would say, in the top five. I mean, they're third or highest motioning team in the league. So a lot of that is to displace the defense. A lot of that is to create angles. I think Mike does a really good job offensively of putting the players in a position to go out there and execute, and the quarterback's playing at a really high level. So good skill players offensively. They've made some changes and modifications here, a little bit running back, but both backs that they have on the roster, Mike has a background with from San Francisco. So they traded Wilson. I mean, they signed Edmonds in the offseason. And then as a part of the Chubb trade, the Chubb acquisition, they traded Edmonds, and then they brought Wilson in a separate trade. So there's two running backs that really understand the schematics of what they're trying to do offensively. But Ingold's got a really good role in terms of what they're doing. They've got good production from the tight end. So offensively, they present a lot of challenges, both horizontally and vertically, with the big plays they can create, you know, on that phase of the ball. And then defensively, I'd say Josh has done a good job of, you know, he came down there with Brian Flores. So I'd say some of the elements that, you know, we had in New England have carried over to the defense. And Josh has done a good job of kind of maybe simplifying some things. Maybe we're doing a little bit less relative to what they were doing previous years. But Josh is a secondary coach, so it's kind of top down. So the kind of the way they kind of handle their coverages and put the defense together is through that lens. And they're kind of 3-for-2 there on the edge now with Chubbs. They got Chubb, they got Ingram, and Jalen Phillips has done a really good job. So, and they play have three, I would say, big, strong, physical guys on the interior of the defensive line of Wilkins, Davis, and Siler, who's kind of an improving player. They're kind of a nickel team for the most part. They're a nickel team, however they get to it. So, like, sometimes it's one inside linebacker, sometimes it's two inside linebackers. But, you know, Houston's own Landon Roberts has done a good job there, you know, a Mike linebacker. And then the secondary, probably one of the better ball hawking players in the league, in Xavien Howard. I mean, nobody's gotten his hands on more balls, you know, than him over the last however many years. And Holland's a really good young player there at safety. So they present different types of challenges defensively, but they're explosive as a team. And in a kicking game, and Danny Crossman, who's trained by Scott O'Brien, who's one of the best special teams coaches kind of in the history of football. So Danny's a really good coach. So they're a I would say overall, they're a very, you know, they're a good football team top to bottom. They do a lot of things well, which is why their record is, you know, 7-3 or whatever it is at this point.
Oh, yeah, 7-3. Nick knew the schedule. He knew the roster. He knew the record. He knew it all. He wasn't guessing at 7-3. They are absolutely 7-3. Very good football team. They lost three games without Tua. They're undefeated with Tua. But the Texans are bringing Kyle Allen and the rest of the squad and seeing what they can do on Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium. Kick is at noon Houston time, 1 o'clock if you are in Miami to go to this football game. Be there, be square. All right, Troy Harrison, you did a little Jenga earlier. Now it's time to get down to brass tacks and talk ball. And he did with Drew Doherty. We call it Drew Doherty's final word. And this week it's with Troy Harrison, rookie fullback from Central Michigan.
Troy, good to be with you. You know, you have such an interesting journey. Just last year, you were playing defense. You were a MAC player of the year defensively in 2020. Now you're a fullback. What have you learned the most about yourself in this whole transition?
Probably learned the most is that anything that I put my mind to, as long as I work hard and believe in myself, I can do it. I can at least make a good attempt.
And I imagine you've learned a hell of a lot about offense, switching over from that side of the ball to this side. What stood out to you the most about what you've picked up?
Probably the play calling.
Yeah.
Play calling. On defense is maybe one or two words, you know, let you know the front coverage, you know, maybe if there's a blitz in there. But on offense, it literally tells you everybody's job. So it goes from X do this, Y do this, F do this, we're going to motion this way. So that was probably the hardest. It's kind of like picking and choosing the words out so I know what I have to do on that given play.
How much fearlessness do you have to do what you've done, you think?
I wouldn't say fearlessness. I feel like it'd be more like determination. Because, you know, everybody goes through anxiety and fear, you know, especially me before a game. So I wouldn't say it's fear, but determination to not allow a man to make a play. So
determination is a big deal because I know you guys got to have it. You want to get that second win. It might start this weekend, wants to start this weekend against Miami. So tell me about what you guys got to do better as an offense to kind of get things going. You had a rare struggle in the run game, really for the first time all season last week.
Yeah, and that's our identity. I think what we need to do is just stick to the plan, stick what coaches got planned for us, game plan, and, you know, stick to our identity, which is the run. So we're going to be fine, and we just keep pushing, and eventually everything will fall into place.
Tell me about this Miami defensive line from what you've seen. I mean, they've got a lot. Everyone talks about all the playmakers at wide receiver, but defensively, they've got some guys who can play, can't they?
Yeah, they got some dogs. They got some players out there. We played some good D-lines this whole season, but we're going to do our job, and we're going to let the O-line do what they do.
What's the key for you this week as a fullback and as far as helping the offense go?
Setting up position blocks, allowing Damian to do what he do, hitting the gap hard and setting up so Damian can slowly chip away at a defense.
He calls you T-Roy. It's always fun to hear that. We've heard your running backs coach, Danny Barrett, DB, call you Bam Bam. What's it been like blocking for a fellow rookie and a guy who I'm guessing has become one of your pretty good friends?
It's cool. We call it double rook. So whenever we in there, we dap each other up as double rook. And I feel like we kind of have the same mentality when we go in there. And, you know, it's pretty cool. It's chemistry. We have a connection. So we just kind of play off each other. And it's cool to have somebody like myself back there.
The way you got ready for a game in college, I know it's going to be different than probably the way you get ready for a game in the NFL. How's it changed, though, defensively, offensively? You wake up in the morning. What's different about how you do it now versus how you did it then?
I guess probably the main thing is that film study is looking at different keys and understanding how to play defense, so there are things that I can understand on the defensive side that can take over to the offensive side. Tendencies that someone may do on the defensive side that I understand, or things that I know a defensive player may not like, I can take advantage of that. So that's probably the main thing, is applying my knowledge, and just the film study is different.
Troy Harrison, we appreciate the time. Best of luck against the Dolphins, and hope to do this again with you soon.
Thank you.
All right, baby, that's going to do it for tonight's show. Big thanks to Troy Harrison, Drew Doherty, DP Sidhu, Marcel Louis Jacques, Dick Casario, Lovie Smith, Mark Vandermeer, Kyle Allen producing some great stuff at the podium. Everybody back at Sports Radio 610 for having me this morning and also having us at night with Texans All Access. 6 hours, man. Woo, that's a long haul during Thanksgiving weekend, but glad I was able to do it and do it for the people I thank most of all, and that's you guys. You guys allow me to do what I do. You listen, you comment, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You guys enjoy your weekend and tune in Sunday and watch the Texans knock off these Dolphins in one of the bigger upsets in the NFL. Boy, that would be really fun to fly back with that in tow. But again, big thanks to everybody. We'll see you on Sunday. And as always, go Texans.